Well, welcome everybody to the webcast. Hey, Mark, how you doing, mate?
I'm good, thank you. Yes, how are you?
Not bad for an old guy. Thinking
yeah,
we're getting
join the club.
Well, you have joined my club actually, but that's very good.
That is true. That is true.
So how should we?
Age of 120.
Yeah. Soon to be 121. So yeah, not soon. I know. Yeah, I guess that's true. I can remember when we were teenagers or even younger when you were trying to rush that next birthday.
You know,
I'm 12 going on 13 and yeah. Well, you know, like they say, I'm in the neighborhood of 40, but the neighborhood's getting bigger every year.
Yeah.
How's your week?
Yeah, it's okay. I've been doing some painting and decorating this week, Barry.
Yes, and how are you feeling with that, with the transition, with going from the accountancy world to putting out a painter's hat?
Well, I must admit, I don't get up in the morning and think, I wish I could go and do a tax return today.
Yeah.
And I haven't been bored. It's nearly 3 months. I did actually, the place I'm decorating is in the town where I used to work. And so I went along to the office at lunchtime to see people, just say hello to them. And I walked in, I thought, and I mean, it's nice to see them. And some people were very, you know, I mean, everybody's very friendly and very chatty, and it's just nice to see them. But a couple of the guys said, oh, I'm glad you're here. I've got some questions for you. And I thought, oh, you know, and one of the guys, he was a really detailed guy, which is great because he needed, you know, we needed that. And he's taken over about 50 of my smallish clients, my old clients. And he'd been looking at them through the eye of detail. And he had this long, long list of things that, in his opinion, he thought I'd missed or not thought.
Oh, my goodness.
So I just decided I'm not going to go back to the office for a long time and let them sort it all out for themselves and get to know the clients. And I'll go in, you know, whenever. But yeah, but the transition's going well. I'm enjoying it. What I like, Barry, is just having a little bit more time to think and reflect and prepare. You know, I mean, I was speaking in a church on Sunday by Zoom, and it was just really nice to be able to think, what do I want to say? Or what does Father want to say? How does it need to be said? What's the real point of this topic, you know? And, you know, is there some sort of ministry response coming afterwards? Rather than just thinking, oh, I'm speaking tomorrow in a church, you know, which, you know, pull out the latest message and think, oh, yeah, I'll do that. So I'm enjoying it.
Thank you. No, that's awesome. We're cheering you on. And you had mentioned that you had gotten rid of some of your suits, you know, and of course, when I left the newspaper business many years ago now, almost a career ago, I took one of my best suits and I put it on a hanger and on a big wooden pole, and I put it over a campfire and I just set it ablaze so it would be symbolic, and I couldn't put it back on again. So I haven't looked back.
I didn't quite go that far. I did take a few things like shirts and ties and suits to the charity shop, but I had a pair of shoes, and I'd worn them. You know, they were my work shoes, my black work shoes. I'd worn them every day for however long, and you know, there was absolutely nothing wrong with them, but I just thought, I'm going to be walking in different shoes now.
Yeah.
So symbolically, they went to the charity shop as well.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. That absolutely makes sense. So, you know, blessed are the feet that spread good news, right? So you just put on those gospel shoes and there you go.
Rock. Yeah. So you've been getting up early in the morning this week and creating.
Yeah.
Creations for the world to enjoy. So,
yeah.
Go on, tell us about that, Barry.
Well, just, of course, anybody who's, you know, probably in the 60 and above or close to 60, you know, sometimes you realize that your sleeping cycles get a little bit start to change. And I find that, you know, of course, sleeping in these days is 5 a.m. for me. Not because I want to. I'd love to sleep till 7 or 8, but it just seems like the biological clock says to stay, get up. But and sometimes it's earlier. And then one day this week, a couple days ago, I just got up at 3 a.m. and, you know, I had my coffee and, you know, I was just kind of nothing else to do. So I went up to the studio and I played and I just put out a soaking prayer video, which it was a lot of fun to do and just put it on YouTube and on our website and everything. But yeah. So yeah, when you got some time on your hands, you little boys and their toys.
They create.
Yeah. So do we have any announcements? I guess we should talk about kind of the wrapping up this year.
End of term.
You want to talk about that a bit?
Yes, we are coming to the end of our 11th year.
Yeah.
On the webcast. In fact, it was about the end of June, beginning of July 2010 that my family went over to Canada for a holiday. And we were up on Prince Edward Island and around Halifax and New Brunswick. And then we flew down from there to Toronto and spent the best part of a week with Barry and Anne after that. And that was July 2010. And one day Barry and I were just talking, you know, boys and their toys. And Barry said, "I have an idea. You and I are doing a webcast." And my response was, "What's a webcast?" So he kindly explained what a webcast was, and we started, I think, the week after we got back, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
So we've been doing it 11 years, but it's the summer, coming up to summer break and so on. So July the 7th, Wednesday, July the 7th, will be our last webcast of the season. And we'll kick it off sometime again in September. Barry and I will have a chat before the 7th of July to decide what date we start in September. And we'll let you all know, in a couple of weeks' time. So, yes, from the 7th of July, well, from the 14th of July, you will have a Wednesday evening free. And if you don't know what to do with yourselves because you're so used to joining the webcast, you could always grab one of the archive classics and sit down and watch that. And if you go back about 2 years, you'll notice, just over a year ago, you'll notice the quality of video things is somewhat less than we have these days.
Yes, yes, yes. It's kind of like watching reruns when you go backwards, you know, and yeah. Some of our dear friends have been with us from the early days, and of course, you know, that was where very pixelated video and the audio, and of course, you know, the internet's changed, everything's improved, and hopefully, yeah. You know, these old dogs have learned a couple of new tricks along the way, so.
I hope so.
Yeah. So are there any other things that we need to announce for you? Are you any kind of seminars coming up? You'll probably have some seminars in the fall.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that'll, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, thanks everybody for joining us. And again, we're celebrating the biggest dad in the universe today. And I think we all know who that is, and it's quite exciting. You guys have Father's Day, right, in the UK?
We do.
You celebrate
it?
Yes. Canada celebrates it this Sunday as well. The United States celebrates it. I learned yesterday, because somebody was asking for permission to broadcast the Spanish one from Chile this Father's Day on a broadcast, and so Chile celebrates Father's Day. I know not every country does celebrate at the same time. Some have it at a different time. But because we do, you know, I thought it would be kind of appropriate to talk about the biggest, best dad in the universe just before our Father's Day. But would you mind just opening in prayer, mate, before we go? And then I'll give it a go, and then I'll bring you back on to rescue me.
Yeah. Well, Father, thank you that you are the biggest and the best dad in the universe.
Yeah.
Thank you that you're the perfect Father. But thank you, Father, that that perfection doesn't demand perfection from us.
Yeah.
That you are the perfect Father, but you just take us as we are and you love us as we are.
Yeah.
Sure, you want us to change. You hope we might change, but you love us just as we are right now.
Yeah.
And change isn't important to you.
Mm.
In the sense it is to us. So Father, thank you that you're loving us right now. You're loving us with a perfect love.
Yeah.
And whatever's been going on in our lives this week and today, you're loving us through all of that. Through the upheaval and the change, the routine, you're loving us.
Yeah.
And we just thank you that, as Barry shares, you'll go on loving us.
Mm.
And you'll do our hearts good.
Yeah.
So, Father, bless Barry as he shares. We just open our hearts to what you're going to say through him. Thank you for all his creative energy and creative enthusiasm that produces all these amazing things for us to enjoy. And we just look forward to what you're going to do in our hearts.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, mate. And I'll see you shortly. So, as I mentioned, that, you know, this is Father's Day coming up for us in Canada and the U.S. and like in different places around the world this Sunday. And, I just thought it was appropriate that, you know, we would really focus. I know we talk about Father's love every Wednesday, of course, because that's the very foundation of who we are and, you know, and just what Jesus, the heart of Jesus to bring us home to the Father. But I don't know. It just, you know, for those who know me, I just feel like I'm just a little boy with a big dad. And I just, you know, how when I was a little boy, one thing that was common is that, children would boast about their parents, you know, that my dad's bigger than your dad, or my dad will beat up your dad if you get into an argument or something. And so it's kind of with that sense of the little boy in me that just wants to brag about my dad, and he's our dad. And it's just, Father's Day is always been a, since I came into this revelation of the Father's love, it's always been a very, very significant time, a marker for us in our ministry. Father's Day is for fathersloveletter.com, our website. It's always the biggest day of the year. It's not as big now as those days were, you know, certainly in the early years, but, you know, it is still in the cycle of the year. Father's Day and the days leading up to it are the more activity and, you know, people sharing and getting permission to broadcast it around the world. So, yeah, so that's why I thought that it would be great to just kind of boast, on who God is. And of course, we know from Ephesians 4, verse 4 to 6, Paul writes this. He says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And, you know, the fathering of God is absolutely settled. God, creator is what God does, but Father is the very essence of who he is. And in Ephesians 3, 14 and 15, you know, Paul is praying, and he starts his prayer by saying this: for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. And so when we start to think about the influence of God as a Father, every family in heaven and on earth derives their name from the Father. He is Father. That's who he is. That's the very substance of his love. And, you know, sometimes over the years, you know, people have talked to me, sent me emails about the Father's love letter. And, you know, they might say, you know, okay, you have the signature of the Father's love letter, love your dad, Almighty God. And even the beginning of it, my child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. And they're saying, you know, God is not, you know, talking about the fatherhood of God for people who aren't, you know, born again yet, you know. And so, you know, my encouragement in this, and then I think this is absolutely settled in scripture, that God is Father. He has fathered everything, in the universe. And it's just not like there is this idea that, you know, everything came from him. In Acts 17, verses 27 to 28, Paul the Apostle is speaking to the philosophers, the Greek philosophers on Mars Hill. And so in this setting, there were all these statues to gods, right? So they worshipped all their all these deities, and they had statues for each one. But then, because they didn't want to miss one, they had a statue to the unknown God. And so, you know, Paul took that opportunity to preach to them, and so he wanted to tell them about the unknown God. And in verse 27 of Acts 27, he starts by saying, God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. And then he quotes their own prophets, poets, you know, when he says, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And the reality of the humanity, the story of the human heart, is that every person on planet Earth came from God, that we were born out of his heart. He is the one that knit us together in our mother's womb. And we are his offspring through creation. But the plan of Jesus Christ when he died on a cross and rose from the dead is that, you know, we can now have a spiritual rebirth. You know, Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3, he says, unless you're born of the water and of the spirit, you will not see the kingdom of God. So there is this spiritual rebirth that we all need. But the truth is that we are all God's offspring. We all came from him. He is Father because Father is the very essence of who he is. And in Genesis 1:27, we know that he created male and female in his image. And, you know, we are all image bearers of God. And that because we carry in our very DNA the substance of his nature. And of course, the desire of the Godhead is that because of the fall in Adam and Eve and how they left the garden, that, you know, there needs to be a return, a reconciliation, a redemption. And that's where the finished work of Jesus has come to restore us to what was lost. But that does not change the fact that God is Father. You know, every family in heaven and earth derives its name from the fathering of God. And I believe that the more that we can focus on how big and how wonderful he is, the less we will focus on ourselves in the broken value system of the orphan-hearted world that we live in. Because I believe that one of the struggles that we have is that, you know, our struggle is to believe that we are loved by God. But that oftentimes the measurements in which we try to understand our value to God, we derive our value based on a broken orphan-hearted world system. You know, like the world that we live in is in opposition to the world, the kingdom of God, right? The Bible says that God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the poor things of the world to shame the rich. He chose the foolish things of the world to confuse the wise. You see, so when we begin to understand that the grid in which that the Father wants us to see him, the grid in which he wants to see ourselves, is a completely different grid than the world system. The world values things like wealth and status and power and productivity and strength and abilities and Hollywood beauty and fame and influence and intellect and education, popularity, conformity, independence, achievements. See, these are the things that the world focuses on. And one of the problems is that a moving target in the sense that, you know, we're as good as our last achievement. And so it can breed this sense of insecurity in us. So if we try to understand who God is and who we are through the lens of a broken world system, that, you know, we can often feel like we are falling short. And, you know, secular humanism has created a theology of its own. It's a religion, even though, you know, they may not say it's a religion. It's a belief system which actually just takes out the person of the Godhead and then, you know, and tries to put in the kind of the generic universe as the, you know, the replacement, or broken religion or fallen ideologies. All of these things have tried to rob us of our immeasurable worth. Even evolution, I believe, is try to deceive humanity from knowing our divine origins, you know, saying that we came from, you know, amoeba and what that developed into fish and developed into apes and developed into man, you know, that it just absolutely strikes a blow to the divine origins, that because the truth is that you and I were created in the image of God. And I really believe that the more that we are awakened to who God is and how big he is and how wonderful he is and how just absolutely that, like, I think he, in essence, the thought that I had for tonight's live stream is that, in a good way, that I think God wants to blow our mind. And when you hear that, I'm not sure how you respond to that, but I believe that what he wants to so reveal to us the ability, the expanse of how big he is and how vast he is and how amazing he is, that the human adult mind can't comprehend it. And so then again, our mind is blown. So, you know, it's like we have this godly short circuit in our adult intellect. And I believe that's why in Matthew 18, verse 1 to 5, when Jesus talks about who's the greatest in the kingdom, and he says, you know, bring a little child to me. And again, he says, take a look at this little child. Unless you turn and change and become like this little child, you will not enter the kingdom of God. And so it's little kids don't have that adult intellect that they trust in and rely on. And, you know, the suspicion and the reason and all those things to try to discern life. They just have this beautiful innocence and this childlike imagination. And my encouragement to you tonight is that I believe the Father wants to take off the adult mindset, you know, to kind of take it off for a second, just set it aside. God loves your mind. You got a beautiful mind, but just put on the little you mindset, the one that believes in fairy tales and rocket ships and faraway lands and damsels in distress, because I believe that the bigness of our dad is so big that when we're able to really begin to grasp this at a heart level, and the heart level of who he is in the kingdom begins to transform our intellect, and so we start to come into agreement with our heart. I believe that's the renewing of our mind that's spoken of in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, where it says that in view of God's tender mercies, let us present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable act of worship. And this is, be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so I think, you know, I want to, as a little boy tonight, I just want to actually talk about some dynamics of the character and the nature of God and the bigness of God, even in nature, even in creation, that will absolutely blow our mind, and to a point where I believe our mind just cannot function and grasp it. So we have to have another alternative, and that's to go to the little us and just ask the Father to come to the little me. And Father, would you just reconnect that place in me where I don't try to, I lay down adult reason, I lay down adult suspicion, I lay down my adult intellect, and I go, Father, I just, you know, the Bible says love believes all things, you know, and I just want to come into that place of childlike faith and childlike joy and childlike simplicity. See, if we try to grasp the eternal, unconditional love of God through a broken paradigm of our limited adult mindset, I believe we just won't get it. I believe that the kingdom of God that the Father wants to give to each and every one of us is so big that the adult mind can't grasp it. It's just not capable. But the little us can absolutely get it. You know, if we try to understand God's goodness through the grid of a failed, orphan-hearted world system, I believe that we'll always be disappointed, because the love, or you know, when I say love, it's the quote, you know, love. It's more of a conditional love, is, or the affirmation we receive is really conditional on achieving and performing and continuing to perform. But the love that the Father has for you and I is absolutely and completely unconditional, and it's internal. And I believe that, you know, when we are able to, yeah, just ask the Father to help us that through the, you know, to lay down the grid of trying to, the perceptions that we have of our own self-worth and our ability to be lovable, based on our own achievements and things, I believe that the more we're able to lay those things down, I believe that the Father, it is immeasurable, the vast expanse of the ocean of His love. He wants to fill us and just absolutely, just overwhelm us with His goodness and His kindness. And I think to do that, I believe that we need to take our eyes off ourselves and any misguided measurements that we've had of how we can be lovable, so we can be truly free to receive the eternal affection of the Godhead. So, it's just like when I say to somebody, God loves you, the Father loves you. And then, many people over the years, when I've said that to them, they say, I can believe that God loves the person next to me, but I can't believe that He loves me. And see, what the reason why that is because we're focusing on us. We're focusing on our goodness, our own ability to be loved, our own worthiness. But the truth of the matter is the Father loves you because He is love itself. And it's the very nature, the very essence of His love. And so I really believe that the Father wants us to, even tonight in this short message, is to fix our eyes on His vastness, fix our eyes on His goodness, on His mercy and His compassion, on His faithfulness to us that goes beyond anything we have ever experienced in our human experience, because it is not of this earth. This is something that is beyond our ability to comprehend it apart from revelation. And revelation comes by the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 1, verse 17 and 18, Paul is praying. He says, I keep asking the glorious Father that He might give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better, and that He might open up the eyes of your heart so you might know the hope of your calling and the glorious inheritance that we have with the saints. And I believe that it's when we're able to lean not to our own understanding, to trust in the Lord with all our heart, that there is something that is, there's a shift that can happen in our inner being where kind of the little us, in which I truly believe is still alive and well in each and every one of us, is, can be reconnected with the kingdom realities, that it's so big and so massive that the Father wants us to be able to focus on Him and His goodness. You see, in John 10:10, we see this struggle, right? Jesus says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it super abundantly. And I really believe that there's this tension. If we focus on ourselves, we focus on reason, we focus on our life experience, we focus on the rules and the principalities and all of the ways of this world system, when we try to relate to God that way, we're always going to be found wanting. But when we begin to look at God Himself, to focus on Him, it's going to absolutely change our gaze. And that when we begin to be able to see ourselves through the lens of love, I think it really has the potential to transform our life. The 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. What is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And so when we talk about the biggest best dad tonight, I just think there's something of us not focusing on our ability to be lovable, but on His love, that we shift our gaze, and it's not about us. It's not about us deserving it. God loved, in Romans 5, it says, God loved us when we were powerless. God loved us when we were His enemy. God loved us when we were steeped in sin. You see, He loved us because He is love. And it's not that His love has changed for us, because our behavior's changed. Of course, as Mark said earlier, that He wants us to change, and He wants us to be the manifestation of the destiny that He has for us. But His love for us is not conditional on us changing. He loves us because He loves us. And in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, the writer of Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And see, that's where when we're called to run this life, we're not called to look at the things that hinder us and the sin and focus on that and say, oh man, I've got a backpack full of things that are hindering me. What do I do? I have this backpack, and keep focusing on that. No, we're to throw it off. We're just to get, just not to focus on it, and to run the unique race that's prepared for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And when I think of that scripture, I picture Jesus in my running lane. Like if you think about the Olympics and everybody has their own lane, Jesus is at the end of my lane and he's looking at me and he's saying, you can do it, Barry, you run this race. And I'm running and I'm looking into his eyes and I'm fixing my eyes on him. And I just believe that when we begin to see how amazing God is, that it will shift our perspective on believing that he can love us and that we are lovable and that we're his kids. And, we are in union with Jesus. Jesus prayed in the John 17 in the high priestly prayer, I and them, Father, you and me. In Colossians 3:1, again, we read about this encouragement to set our affections on things above. And it says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hid with Christ in God. And in 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul also writes, he says, and we are all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, which is the Spirit. And I just believe that the Father wants us, and I just feel like it's this moment, and I don't know if this can, make sense to you, but I feel the Bible says that he's the glory and the lifter of our head. And I think oftentimes, when we get discouraged, we look down, we get downcast, and when he comes up to us, and he's the lifter of our head, and it's like he takes his finger and he puts it under our chin, and he raises our gaze so we can look into his eyes. So he just keep looking at me, son. Keep looking at me, daughter. I'm your glory. I'm the lifter of your head. Fix your gaze on me. And I believe the more that we are able to really fix our eyes on the greatness of our God, the bigness of our God, the massive, endless love that he has for us, whether it makes sense to our rational mind or not, I believe the more that we are able to do that, that we with unveiled faces are being transformed from one degree of glory to the next. And so I just want to, on our broadcast, we spend a lot of time talking about kind of the spiritual characteristics of God and his love and his kindness and his compassion and his gentleness and his mercy and his goodness and all those things. But I want to do that tonight, but I also want to then to actually kind of join that to some very, very practical, physical, in kind of in the natural realm, like the bigness of our dad is absolutely mind-boggling. And so, I want to take just a few minutes to talk about some things, some physical attributes of God in the universe that are so big that the human mind can't grasp this. Like we can hear these things. But it's like we can't, there's nothing we can do. We were not built to be able to comprehend them. And it's like if we're able to see in a natural realm the bigness of our dead, and then how much more in the eternal spiritual realm will these things, that God wants to just release something. And so these, what I'm going to talk about is these, just some very, very, this is all science, all the statistics I got were from, articles, and, I've got sources for them all. But I just want to talk about in the natural realm, the biggest best dad in the universe. And what are some of the implications of that? And, you know, when we talk about the universe, the cosmologists and the astronomers and, you know, all the scientists, all they can speak about is the known universe. They can't say the universe because the universe is continually expanding. And see, when we understand about God and, you know, he's everywhere. And of course, in Colossians 1, it talks about that in Christ himself, everything is joined together in the whole universe. You know, this is like, it's not like God is in the universe. It's the universe is in God. And we talk about the vastness of who our Father is and who our big brother is and the Holy Spirit. We are talking about something that is beyond our human comprehension. And when we start thinking about the universe, you know, we live in a galaxy called the Milky Way. And in the Milky Way, there are over 100 million stars. Now, if you understand that for a second, there's 100 million stars in the Milky Way galaxy. And from what I understand, the Milky Way, this is where we live, is one of the smaller galaxies amongst the many galaxies. And now keep in mind, 100 million stars, that means every star has its own planet system. Like we have a solar system, you know, with all the planets that go around the star, our star, which is our sun. And the Milky Way galaxy, our little one, has 100 million stars. The known universe, the NASA, which is the space agency in the United States, recently updated their estimation about how many galaxies there are in what they call that known universe. They estimate there's between 1 and 2 trillion galaxies in that known universe. Now, think about that. Like a trillion is a big number. And, you know, and I've said this many times and, you know, it sounds like I'm joking, but, you know, when I talk about just, you know, the Bible says that we're going to rule and reign with Jesus forever, right? As sons and daughters to Yahweh, what are we going to do? Well, with 1 to 2 trillion galaxies, maybe, just maybe, we all get our own galaxy or 2 or 10 or 1,000, who knows. But when we begin to understand the vastness of our God, and the Bible says that the universe is continuing to expand. It hasn't just, it's not dormant. And we just don't know, we've never been able to see the end. And now, take a look at this number here. They estimate, and I've never even heard this description before of a number. Mark probably does. He probably uses it all the time in accounting when he was working. But they estimate that there are 70 septillion stars in the universe. And again, this is the known universe. Now take a look at that number. There are 23 zeros plus the number 7. That is a pretty big number. And you see, this is the very essence, the core, the nature of who God is that this is all within what he planned in his absolute. The Bible says that everything was created for his pleasure. And every one of those 70 septillion stars were created for his pleasure. And plus, don't forget, then you've got all of this, the planets and the moons, you know, surrounding all these 70 septillion stars. I remember reading in USA Today, which is an American newspaper, a few years back, and I don't know, they may have updated this, but they estimated that there were probably 40 billion Earth-like planets in the known solar system or the known universe that would sustain life. 40 billion, you know, and of course they're just guessing because we're talking about something that is so vast and so big that I believe that the Father just wants us to, when we are able to fix our eyes on him and how good he is and how kind and how vast and how amazing he is, then, you know, then all of a sudden our discouragements and our fears and our failures and our unbelief pales in comparison to the absolute glory of who he is. You know, those 70 septillion stars in Psalm 147 verse 4 to 5, it says, he counts the number of stars. He calls them all by their names. Great is our Lord, mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. So think about this for a minute. He counts the number of them and he calls each one of them by name. That's our dad. That is your dad. Your dad is the biggest, best dad in the universe, and that's how big he is. And, you know, here's another number. There are 75 sextillion grains of sand on the earth. Now, is that, like, you know, when you go on a beach and you see sand, there is a lot of sand. There's, you know, not only sand on the beach, there's sand in the ocean. You know, there's sand in deserts around the world. And believe me, they've done the math. You know, these experts, these scientists have been able to make these calculations. But that this number is a really big number, right? Now think about this for a second. Psalm 139 verse 17 and 18 says, King David writes, he says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I am awake, I am still with you." I'm just going to go back to that again. 75 sextillion grains of sand. And yet the Father is continuing to think about you more than there are grains of sand on the seashore. That's the kind of dad you and I have. It will blow our mind, our capacity to actually even try to grasp this. It's just, it's way, way too big. Now, think about this one. And I read this article as well just yesterday. Okay, 70 sextillion, whatever that number is, from grains of sand. They estimate, scientists estimate, for every grain of sand on planet Earth, there are 10,000 stars. Think about that for a moment. Does that blow your mind? Like, when I hear that, I mean, I can't comprehend it. I don't have a grid for it. But, you know, all I can do is go, yay, that's my dad. He is so big that there are 10,000 times more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on planet Earth. And I just think the more that we can just focus on his bigness and his goodness and his kindness, you know, we can absolutely lose the focus on us in our own smallness. And the thing is, our dad is as small in the way that he goes down into the minute details of life as he is big. So, like, we have this idea of, you know, this immeasurable universe. But, you know, when you go into the wonderful world of quantum physics, and you know what? I'm just a little boy with a big dad, but I am fascinated by quantum physics. I don't understand it. It's beyond my pay grade. But when we begin to understand that God is as small as he is big. So as the universe is so vast, it is so vast going down into small areas. There's something called particles, and they're subatomic parts of an atom. So we know, you know, if you went to school and you were in science class in maybe high school, you know, you learned about an atom, and then you have electrons and protons, and they spin around this atom. Well, there's these subatomic particles, so that, you know, the more that scientists have been able to understand quantum physics, and this is something that's probably the last 100 years that this has even been able, but even with more powerful with cameras and microscopes and things, they've been able to understand that there's these subatomic parts of an atom. And do you know, like, again, if this doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what will. We talked about how big the universe is and how many stars there are in the universe. Well, there are more particles in a drop of water than there are stars in the universe. So you take one drop of water on your finger and you look at that, and there's more of these subatomic particles in that one drop of water than there are stars in the universe. Now, I don't know about you, but that absolutely blows my mind. But that's our dad. That's how big he is. And then you even think about the human body. Do you know that there are over 30 trillion cells in an adult body? 30 trillion in me. Right now, there are 30 trillion cells. And I just read this yesterday. Blew my mind. We make 2 to 3 million blood cells every second. The average person, 2 to 3. Do you know how much activity is going on in your body? 2 to 3 million blood cells are being created every second. And now, this is another big number. But the average adult person has over 7 octillion atoms. Now look at all of those numbers on that screen. And if anybody is listening to this, you might want to watch the video. But it's a really big number. And then with every one of those atoms, there's all these subatomic particles that are connected to it. And I was reading numbers about what that means and the implications of that. And it just, it was like my eyes glazed over because it was absolutely so amazing and so big. There's a video that I watched called The Inner Life of a Cell. And if you look it up, it's from Harvard. They actually created the inner life of a white blood cell. And it's a 2.5 minute video that is an animation of what happens in one cell in a human body. And it was amazing to see all of the activities. It looked like a factory and all the things that were going on and all over the place, all the activities within this one cell. And we have 30, you know, like we have 33 trillion of them in our body. You see, God is as small as he is big. And, you know, when in Psalm 139 verse 14, King David writes, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You see, the truth is that every one of us is a work of art. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his masterpiece, created to do the good works that he prepared for us in advance to do. You see, the more that we begin to understand that our dad is an amazing creative genius, even making us, and you know, when we go into the stars and the universe, it's immeasurable, but when we go into our bodies, when we go into the quantum physics, it absolutely will blow our mind. And you know, the truth is, he has never ever made the same thing twice. Every snowflake, every blade of grass, every strand of DNA is a one-off original, because that's who our Father is. He is the most amazing, biggest, best dad in the universe, and he is your dad. You are not adopted into his family. You were born into his family. The Bible says in 1 John 3 that his sperm seed, his sperma, lives in us, remains in us. We came from God, and he is our Father. And I just want to encourage you in that. The one who named the stars, in Isaiah 43 verse 1, calls you by name too. You see, he doesn't just call us impersonal. He will say, Barry, I love you. Mark, I love you. You're just amazing. And I just want to encourage you today that even though our Father is so vast and so big and so immeasurable in the quantum levels and in the universe levels, he is so attentive to us. Jesus said, your Father knows what you need before you even ask. He even said concerning the sparrows that not one bird will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. He is so attentive to each and every one of us. And the more that we are able to just celebrate his bigness and understand that he loves us and he wants to fill us. I really believe tonight, you know, that prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians 3. That we would be strengthened in the inner man by the Spirit of God, so we would have power to grasp how deep and how wide and how long and how high is the love of God, and that we might be filled to the full measure of the fullness of God. I believe we're talking about kind of things that are eternal, things that are as big as the universe. I mean, Jesus said, you know, that the kingdom of God is actually within us, right? That's what he had said at one point. And so when we begin to understand this ever-expanding eternal kingdom is within us, and that God wants to fill us with his love, and he wants to expand our love tanks to be able to actually come to a place where we are filled to the full measure of the fullness of God. Would you be willing today, like, I mean, I don't know about you with these numbers. Maybe you're a physicist and you think, oh yeah, that makes sense. But for me, I read these statistics about how big God is, how big the universe is, how incredibly small and minute the quantum physics are. And it just blows me away, and it just brings glory to God. You know, the Bible says that the heavens and were created to bring glory to God. And it's that Father who's named every star, and a Father who has just designed every part of humanity. The Bible says everything was created for his pleasure. That means for his enjoyment. And that Father is who created all the stars in the sky has created you, and he calls you by name. Would you be willing to, just today, like I'm just saying, Father, I just want to be filled. Fill my love tank. Expand it. To look, it says to be filled with the full measure of the fullness of God. You know, I think it's going to probably take an eternity for us to, that expansion is probably going to continue on, just like the universe is expanding, so that we can be a container of the full measure of the fullness of God. But would you be willing today to lay aside your adult mindset? One of the scriptures that I absolutely love, and this is King David writing, and I believe this is how God wants his kings to manage their kingdoms, right? And of course, Jesus is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I just kind of think that, you know, because we are his brothers and his sisters, and, you know, we must be those kings and those lords that, this is the way that King David ruled his kingdom. He said, my heart is not but proud, Lord, my eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. You know, here is a man, you know, a king that was ruling his kingdom. And how he did it, he said, you know, I do not concern myself with things that are great matters or things too wonderful for me. You know, when I look at the universe and I look at quantum physics, I mean, those things are way, way beyond my ability to grasp these things. But I believe that the Father wants to be able to come into a place where he absolutely wants to encourage us to be able to believe with a childlike heart, that we don't try to grasp these things through a human intellect, and that we would be like a weaned child with our mother and just say, Father, yeah, you are big. You are amazing. Yay. I celebrate you, that you love me. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. And I just pray that in that place of beautiful simplicity, that God will expand the childlike faith to believe that we are loved because he says he's loved, because we have the biggest, best dad in the universe. The truth is, he knit us together in our mother's womb. He brought us forth on the day we were born. All our days were written in his book before one of them ever came to be. And I believe that the Father wants to come today, and he just wants to, I don't know, I just believe the Bible says his love is higher than the heavens are above the earth. And I just believe that he wants to expand our capacity to human reason, human rational adult mindsets. He just wants to blow it out of the water because he's way too big than that. And that we could just be little boys and little girls with a big dad and just be able to boast with him, saying, my dad is the biggest, best dad in the universe, because that is the truth of who we are. And we are his legitimate children. You know, I just think of 1 John 3:1 that says, see how great the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. So I just want to encourage you to did anybody get their mind blown by just thinking of the bigness of God and the smallness of God? He's your dad. He's my dad. And the more that you and I can celebrate him and this Father's Day, and, you know, I really believe that Father's Day is every day, you know, when we're talking about our Heavenly Father, that we can celebrate him, and then we could be like little boys and little girls. My dad is the biggest dad in the universe. He's the best dad. He's the most loving dad, and really believe it. And this is really, it's more real than any adult intellect, any kind of reason that you would come against it in an orphan world system. So that's all I have to say. And Mark, I'm just going to see if you're around. If you are there.
I've come back, yes. I froze a few minutes ago, but we're back here. That's good stuff. Those numbers are beyond my pay grade, too, Gary, I'll tell you that.
So as an accountant, that's a little bit bigger than what you normally deal with.
I would know about billions. I wouldn't deal with billions, but yeah, that's about my level.
Yeah, so, well, it's just, that's our dad, right? And again, yeah. The more science, the most amazing thing that is happening now with science is that the more that they learn, the more that they actually are proving the existence of God. With quantum physics, like there's all these spiritual principles that are actually reinforcing that God is who he says he is. And we are who he says we are. So,
yes.
So, that's, I do want to, you know, when we wrap up here today, maybe we can just pray for a minute, but then I do want to send us all out with a video that I created a few years ago, but, maybe we could just pray that if there's somebody, if you're struggling to believe that God loves you, if you're struggling in an intellect, you can't grasp based on your lovability, your worthiness, your history, what your parents have done, your experiences, that somehow you think, I just can't reason that the Father would just come by his Spirit today. So maybe we could just do that. And, so Father, we just thank you for your amazing love. We thank you, Father, that you are a good dad. And that you give good gifts to your kids. And I just pray, Father, anything in our hearts, Father, where we have tried to understand you through a broken world system or a measurement system that is fallen, I pray even tonight by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would just awaken something in us. Just to be able to have that childlike faith, childlike trust, childlike imagination. Whoa. That we would believe that you love us.
So much.
And that we're your kids. And our dad is the biggest, best dad in the universe. And that, Father, that the sky is the limit. There's nothing shall be impossible to us.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, people might say we've kind of lost our mind, but you know, if we have, we you know, I think we found something much greater.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, thank you everybody for coming. As we go out, I'm just going to end, and I know some of you may need to get off the webcast, but a few years ago, I created a video called The Best Dad in the Universe, and it was really based on my personal response to the love letter. If God wrote a love letter to the world, then this was my response as a little boy with a big dad, just to boast on who he really is. So, I'm just going to put it on. It's 11 minutes, so you know I understand if people need to go. Yeah. Bless you. Anything that else, Mark, before we go?
No.
No.
I think it speaks for itself, Barry.
All right. I'm just going to put it on, and thanks everybody for coming, and hope to see you.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
My dad is the best dad in the universe and the father over all creation. He is so amazing that he clothes himself with light and he rides on the wings of the wind. My dad is so powerful that he created the heavens and the earth with just the sound of his voice. He made all the stars in the sky and he calls each one of them by name. My dad is so big that heaven is his throne room and the earth is his footstool. When my dad speaks, his voice roars like thunder and flashes like lightning. His hair is white like wool and he sits on a throne of fire. Some call him the Ancient of Days because he has been around forever. But I just call him my dad. Because he said that he would be a father to me. My dad knows everything about everything, from the beginning to the end. When he opens up his hand, he provides for all that he created. Everything that my dad makes is really good. He invented every bird, every fish, and every animal that ever lived. And he gives life and breath to all things. All of creation is constantly speaking about my dad's kindness. The heavens show off his glory, and the skies display his majesty. My dad is so huge that he holds the entire earth in the palm of his hand. Some call him creator because of what he makes. But I just call him my dad because he loves me with all his heart. My dad is so rich that the entire earth belongs to him. He even owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Though nations tremble in his presence, I call him my father. Though the angels bow down in reverence, I can come into his throne room any time, night or day. And my dad's kingdom is really, really big. It is always expanding, and it will last forever. My dad rules the nations of the world, and all the kings belong to him. His righteousness towers like the mountaintops, and his justice goes deep as the sea. My dad is the kindest person in the universe. He sends his rain and sunshine on both the good and the bad. He loves to show mercy, even when we don't deserve it, because his great love endures forever. My dad's love stretches to the heavens, and his faithfulness extends beyond the clouds. He is the most gentle, the most forgiving, the most compassionate and understanding dad in the universe. He is always the same. He never changes his mind, and he always keeps his word. Every promise that he makes is true, and the intentions of his heart will stand forever. And my dad's heart is for the underdog. He protects the weak, and he has chosen the poor of this world to inherit his amazing kingdom. He cares for the fatherless and the widow. He isn't happy when people do evil things, and he rejoices when justice wins out. My dad is an everlasting father who is always present to help me when I need him. He is my safe place in times of trouble. He is my strong tower, and he lifts up my head when I get discouraged. My dad knew me even before I was conceived. He actually chose me before the foundation of the world. He formed me with his own hands when he knit me together in my mother's womb. My dad created me to look just like him, and he says that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The day that I was born, my dad was in the delivery room to welcome me into this world, because I am the apple of his eye and the object of his affection. No one can hurt me because my dad fights for me. He even sends his angels to watch over me. Nothing can harm me when I stay close to him. Because my dad is for me, no one can stand against me. My dad is really patient. He is not proud or rude or self-centered, and he does not get mad easily. He does not keep track of all the times I hurt him, and he loves to forgive and forget. My dad always protects. He always trusts. He always hopes for the best. My dad will never give up on me because his love will never fail. Even if my earthly mom could forget, my heavenly dad will never forget me. He understands everything about me, and he knows what I need before I even ask. Every day in my life was written in his special book before one of them ever came to be. My dad tells me all the time that I was created for his pleasure and that my life makes him smile. He even took the time to number each one of the hairs of my head. And my dad loves to sing songs over me. And he calls me his treasured possession. He watches over me day and night because he never sleeps. My dad has planned so many good things for me that they are too many to count. He loves to share his secrets with me, and he likes to show me the mysteries of his kingdom. And my dad likes to give good gifts too. Every gift that I receive comes from his hand, and he keeps on telling me to ask him for even more, because he delights to give me his kingdom. When I get hurt, he heals me. When I need reassurance, he comforts me, just like a mother would. When I feel weighed down, he carries all my burdens. When I am brokenhearted, he is really, really close to me. My dad is always with me, and he has promised never to leave me. Even if I wanted to, there is nowhere I could go ever to leave his presence. When I fall, he picks me up. When I'm hurting, he encourages me. When I sin, he forgives me. When I can't go on, he carries me. When I lose faith, he doesn't give up on me. He gives me wisdom when I need it and help when I'm in trouble. My dad is always thinking of me. He has really great plans in store for me, and his heart is full of blessings toward me. He holds me in the palm of his hand. He leads me to still waters, and he gives rest to my soul. Oh, my dad's patience astounds me, and his mercy overwhelms me. His humility humbles me, and his protecting wings cover me. His everlasting love sustains me, and his provision keeps me. My cup overflows because of his kindness, and mercy and goodness follow me wherever I go. When I was lost, my dad found me. When I was mired in sin, he forgave me. When I was filthy, he cleansed me. When I was dead, he resurrected me. When I was his enemy, he sent his own son to die for me. My dad loved me so much that he gave up everything that he loved in order to gain my love. Jesus Christ, the Son whom the Father loved and the expressed image of the invisible God, gladly became the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, so that his dad could be my dad too. Now, because of Jesus' death and resurrection, everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to me. His joy is my joy. His peace is my peace. His life is my life. His dad is now my dad. He has given me the keys of the kingdom, and he has made me an heir of his Father's inheritance. I am now part of the greatest family in the universe. God is my Father, and Jesus is my big brother. They have even given me their own spirit as a deposit to guarantee my inheritance. Ah, my dad has the biggest house ever, and he has made a special room just for me, where I will rule and reign with Jesus forever in his unshakable kingdom. I have an everlasting inheritance in heaven waiting for me, where I will receive a crown of glory that will never fade. One day, I will shine like the sun in my Father's kingdom. Oh, my dad is so big that heaven can't contain him. Yet he is so small that he lives in my heart. I am so glad that I will belong to his amazing family forever. My dad really is the best dad in the universe.